Okay, Daf Samach Gimel. We're middle here at discussion, trying to figure out pshat in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said a very interesting halacha, pasha pshat. Someone went ahead and was trying to buy chitin, so the moicher was selling chitin. The moicher received money, and now he's supposed to pay chitin back for the money that he got. Okay, and the Mishnah said the halacha is that at that point the lokeach who wants his chitin, who in this case is sort of like the malva, right? So lokeach wants his chitin. At some point he comes and says, "Give me the chitin." The moicher says, "I don't have the chitin right now." And even though the chitin price went up, what I'll do is I'll transfer that money that I owe you onto wine. Okay, so even though I paid for you 25 of chitin, now the chitin is worth 30, I'll let you go ahead and transfer 30 of that chayv onto wine. The Mishnah said if he does not have wine, that is going to be usher. But if he does have wine, if the Meicher does have wine in that case, then the Mishnah said he is allowed to transfer the chayv of the chitin onto the wine. The Gemara yesterday was trying to figure out what is pshat in that halacha. Because we said that normally we see, and we'll see it later on in Daf Ayin Beis, that once it's Yatza Hashar, once the set price has been set, so once there's a price being set, then you no problem going ahead and paying now for something you're going to receive later. Even if when you receive it later, the price goes up, it doesn't matter. As long as it's available now, we consider it as if you received it already now. And if it's you considered it already as if you received it now, then of course, once you received it, something you own that goes up in price is no. It's not the malvo of the loiv's fault. It's no big deal whatsoever. So that's if it's yatsa hashar. So that was the Mishnah's kasha. The Mishnah, in the case of the yayin, the end of the story in the yayin, the price had already been set. And if the price has already been set, you should be able to go ahead and transfer that chitin chayv and for a higher price onto the wine. That was the Gemara's kasha. So the first test the Gemara tried to say, Rava tried to say, based on a brisa, is that would normally be true that you can be paisik al ashar when you're actually giving money. When you're actually giving money to the other party, to the buying party, to the selling party, you're actually giving cash, in which case, as we'll see in the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Beis, the svar is, once he receives the cash, in theory, he could go ahead and buy that produce and provide it to you right now. Could be he will, could be he won't, but in theory he could, so that's good enough, consider it, that we don't consider this ribbis, because he could go ahead and buy it. But, says Rav, in our Mishnah, the person who's transferring onto the wine is not transferring cash onto wine. He's transferring a pre-existing chayv onto wine. You're not actually giving anything. If you're not actually giving anything, then how can you say the receiving party is going to go ahead and it's ke'ilu, he could buy it, and therefore it went up and he's reshus? It's not true, because he doesn't have cash. And on that, Abai said that's a beautiful pshat, but then the chayrut shouldn't make a difference whether it's yeshloi or einloi, because lamaisa, you're not giving cash. And if you're not giving cash, this looks more like a case of ribbis, right? So if you're giving cash, and then we could discuss yatsa shar, lo yatsa shar, so then it looks more like a purchase transaction. But if you're not giving cash, you're just rolling it over from a chayv, says Abaya, then the chayv, even if he has wine available right then, it should still look like a chayv. It should still look like you're doing a ribbish transaction, not a purchase transaction. Therefore, Abaya seemed to reject that pshat of Rava. We then brought a second pshat in the Gemara Amud Beis yesterday, at the bottom of the daf, about a case where a person buys something and then sells it back at a cheaper price, and it's a Ramas Ribis. We tried to read that into the Mishnah. Lemaisa, we said that halacha is a true halacha, but it can't read into the Mishnah because the words of the Mishnah don't fit with that pshat. So now we're left with the question is, what is back pshat in the Mishnah? So that's the bottom line on Samach Beis and Beis. Ella Amar Rava, Kishachivna, when I die, Rabbi Oishia Nafik Lavosi. Rabbi Oishia, there's an expression. Rabbi Oishia was the Tana of the Brisa. Remember, there were two Tanaim who wrote the Brisa, Rabbi Chia and Rabbi Oishia. So some of the Brises we quote are from Rabbi Chia's Beis Medrash, some of them are from Rabbi Oishia's Beis Medrash. The Brisa that we started the discussion here today was from Rabbi Chia's Beis Medrash. And he was the one who said, if you're not giving money, it doesn't make any difference under any circumstances. It looks like a loan if you're rolling it up from a chayv. Says Rav, I have a Brisa from Rabbi Oishia. And Rabbi Oishia argues on that point to Rabbi Chia. And according to Rabbi Oishia's Pshat in this Brisa, we're going to quote, I can understand Pshat in the Mishnah. And therefore, says Rav, when I die, Rabbi Oishia is going to come from Gan Eden to greet me because I made the Mishnais, which are considered the most authoritative place for halacha, fit like Rav Oishia's Brisa. What did Rav Oishia say? The Matayitz the Maslisa Kavase, because I answered our Mishnah like Rav Oishia. The Tani Rav Oishia. Rav Oishia said the following case, similar to our Mishnah's case, but a little bit of a twist. Hareisha Yenoisha Bechaver Maneh. In this case, we're not starting off with a purchase. Remember, in our Mishnah's case, we started off with a purchase of chita. In this case, Rav Oishia, we're not starting with a purchase. No. Someone borrowed money. Okay. So the Loiva owes the Malve 100 shekel. V'halach v'amad al groina, and he comes to the Loiva's granary. V'amalei teini me'oisi. I want my money back now. Shani writes a likach ben chitin, because chitin now is going up in price. I want to take that money that you owe me and buy chitin. V'amar loy, the loyva says to him, chitin yeshli. Oh, you know what? Instead of me giving you cash and you going to the shuk and having to buy chitin and trying to make your profit that way, I have chitin. No problem. I have chitin. Shani noisim lecha. Save v'asun alai kishar shalachshav. And I will give it to you even though you borrowed from me 100 shekel. And now I'm going to sell you wheat that's going to go up in price, even though I'm not giving you the wheat right now. But the price of wheat is set. And therefore, I'm going to go ahead and give you 100 shekel worth of wheat. But I'm not actually going to give it to you. It's going to be ke'ilu. You have 100 shekel worth of my wheat. And then when the price of wheat goes up, you'll make your profit that way. And I'll give you the more expensive money. Okay, so instead of going through all the hassle of me giving you money and you going to the shuk and buying wheat and then it going up, I have wheat. Right now the wheat is worth 100 per bushel. I will kilu a bushel of my wheat is now yours. When it goes up, higiyaz man chitim limkor. When the price of wheat later on will go up. So now instead of giving you 100 shekel, I'll give you 110. So it's sort of a ribbis again, sort of not. We'll see if that's a righteous point. And then when it comes later on, when the price of wheat goes up, so now I'm supposed to give you that bushel, which is now worth 110. Okay. He says, no, I know how to work the markets. So if you give me now the 110 shekel you owe me for that one bushel of wheat that's mine now, I will sell it, get 110, buy wine, because now the price of wine is cheap, and then I'll wait for the wine to go up, and I'll make a profit on the wine. So I'll keep rolling my money over onto different commodities to make a profit. So now the labor says, okay, no problem. Hey, I'm also in the yayin business. So instead of me giving you the chitin, you selling the chitin and getting cash and going to buy wine, I'll just roll over the chayv of the chitin, the battery of the chitin, into wine. Shani noisim lechot, save also like a shah shalachshav. So now I'll give you 110 shekel worth of wine. And then he gives my yayin limkar. Now wine goes up from 110 per case to 150 per case. V'yomalei ten liyeni shani writes a limkar. So he says, okay, now I want my wine, which is now worth 150. So I've started with 100. The 100 turned into 110. Now the 110 is turning into 150. Good profit. V'likach ben shemen, and now I want to go ahead and take that 150 that you owe me now for the case of wine and roll it into oil. So I'm like, no problem. Guess what? I'm also in the shemen business. So instead, I'll roll you over and give you 150 shekel, a whole barrel full of shemen. And then when the price of shemen goes up, then either I'll give you the shemen or I'll give you the cash. What is the halach in all these cases? So you've turned your 100 shekel that you originally had lent now into 175 or maybe even 200 shekel. This sort of looks like ribbis.
Was it enough gemina three times or only one time?
There could be enough gemina legabe the different things and how available they are in the market. Maybe.
Yeah, no, okay? But he has them all three anyway.
And so it's all the says the Gemara, kulam, so what does the Rashi say? Im yeshloi mutter. In all these cases, if when he said, instead of giving you the chitin, I'm going to give you wine, or instead of giving you the wine, I'm going to give you the oil. If the loiva in this case had all those things available right now, he just wasn't providing them right now, but he actually had them, it's totally mutter. Ein loy oser. If he doesn't have them, I'm not. Now getting back to our svara, right? The whole point of the svara is, if I have it now, then it's ke'ilu, it's yours, even though you didn't actually take it. You never did a kinyan mishich on it, you never actually took it. But it's ke'ilu, you took it. Rashi says it's like mishapara. Since I'm mechuyif to give it to you, also the din of mishapara that we learned last parak, so here also it's ke'ilu for dine ribis, it's considered yours, and when the price goes up, it's ke'ilu, you profited. Now, let's contrast this with the price we started with Rav Chia. Rav Chia had said, and that's what Rava had quoted and Abaye had quoted earlier, that in this case this won't work, because in this case I'm not giving cash. Right, Rava and Rav Chia, the way Rava had quoted Rav Chia said, since in this case you're not giving cash, you're rolling over a chalon, it doesn't make a difference whether he has the thing to provide you now or not. Either way, it looks like ribbis. Rav Aisha is arguing on that point. And Rav Aisha is saying, I don't care if you give me cash, then you don't even have to have the chafetz. As long as it's yotza hashar and the price is set, even if you don't have the chafetz, it's good enough, because once you have the cash, you can go buy it in the market. But if you're not rolling over cash, says Rav Aisha, as long as you actually have the chafetz now, rolling over a chayv into a chafetz you actually own is fine. Oh, So that's beautiful pshat in our Mishnah. That's mamish what our Mishnah said. Our Mishnah said he owed him the money from the chitin. He's rolling it over into wine. Says the Mishnah, it's usser if he does not have wine. But if he does have wine, then exactly like Rabbi Yishai said, that's fine. Even though I'm not giving you money, I'm rolling over a chayv. But if I'm rolling over a chayv into wine that you have right now, it is considered as if I paid you for the wine. It's considered ke'ilu, not really, but ke'ilu, that wine is yours. And when the price goes up on the wine, you profited, not me giving you more profit. I gave you wine for 100, it went up to 110, you profited. I gave you shemen for 150, whatever it was, it profited, you profited. I did not give you that extra profit, even though you didn't give me money, even though you just rolling over the chayv. And therefore that is going to be pshat in our Mishnah. Now the next line of the Gemara, Umay lokach lokach balvase, Rashi vehemently, strangely, vehemently takes out of the Gemara. Okay? But what is that line? Just explaining to you quickly if you read Rashi. In Rav Oishia's case, we started with a loan. Okay? We started with a loan, then we turned the loan into chitin, we turned the chitin into yayin, we turned the yayin into shemen. In our Mishnah's case, we did not start with a loan. In our Mishnah's case, we started with a purchase, okay? We started with a purchase of chitin that then you didn't pay me, so then you wanted to roll it in, you didn't pay the chitin, so you wanted to roll that chiv of chitin into yayin. Does that make a difference or not? Does it make a difference if you started with a purchase or you started with a loan? Rashi says it makes no difference whatsoever what you started with. The point is, at the end, the chiv of the chitin, I'm rolling into yayin, makes no difference whether the original thing was a purchase or the original transaction was a loan. It makes no difference whatsoever. Right now, you owe me money, and you're transferring that into chitin from chitin to yayin, or in our Mishnah, you're transferring the chiv of the chitin into yayin. That's the exact same thing. Other Rishonim argue on that. Other Rishonim say if it starts with a transaction, a mecher transaction, it might be different. But Rashi says absolutely not. And Rashi is very vehement about it. Okay. So that is pshat in our Mishnah. We see three important halachas and hilchos ribis from this case of Rav Oishia, where you owed money, then you rolled it onto chitin, you rolled it onto yayin, you rolled it onto shem. Shma minam amidin malva alaperis. That if I owe you money, instead of me paying you money, I can say, instead I'm going to give you fruits, even though I'm not giving you the fruits right now, give you yayin, shem, or whatever it is, but I'm not actually giving it to you. I'm just saying it's ki'ilu, it's yours. You're allowed to do that. But not like Rav Chiya. Remember, Rav Chiya said, you can't do this. Rav Chiya said, since you're not actually giving cash, you're rolling over a loan, it's usser. Rav Oishia said, I don't care if you're rolling over a loan, as long as you have the pears, for shvaminahu diyeshlai. Again, only if I have the chitin or the yayin or the shemen right now, then even though you're not giving me actual cash, you're rolling over a loan onto those things. Rav Oishia said those 2 points you could do. You're allowed to roll it over. It's not ribis, even though I didn't actually give it to you. But only when you actually have the chafetz. Yeah. Yotzah Shar is not good enough. Right? Yotzah Shar is not good enough over here, Rashi stresses, because you don't have money to go buy something with. You took my money. So Yotzah Shar is not good enough. It has to be you actually have the chafetz. And the third point, and this is a very important point, Shmamina Isil de Avyane. We also hold like Avyane. What did Avyane say? Dom Avyane, Mali Hein, Mali Demeyen. In the classic case of Rav Oishia, I owe you money. Instead of me giving you money, I'm rolling it over into chitin, 100 shekel of chitin. The price of chitin goes up. As long as I had chitin when I said that, that chitin's ke'ilu is yours. And if I gave you back the chitin in 6 weeks from now when it was worth 110, that's no problem. It's not ribis. Okay. But Rav Oishia doesn't stop there. Rav Oishia then says, instead of me giving you back the chitin for 110, I now roll that chitin into yayin. And then you take 110 of yayin, which then turns into 150. And then you take the 150 of yayin and turn it into shemen, which turns into 175 or 200. That, says Rav Yana, is a chiddush. To say that instead of you giving you back the original chitin that now went up in price, I'm rolling the chitin now onto something else. Meaning, as Rav Yana says it, mali hein, mali demeyan. Just like I can give you back the chitin, which is now worth 110. Rav Oishia said, I don't have to give you the chitin 110. I can give you the worth of chitin. In this case, I'm not actually giving you the cash. I'm giving you yayin worth chitin, or shemen worth yayin, that you're allowed to do. That's a chiddush. So this is a second stage of this transaction. The first stage of this transaction was I'm taking a chayv and turning it into pears. The second stage of the transaction is I'm taking the chayv on the pears and rolling it onto second pears. Also, no money trading hands over here, and you're going to end up giving him a lot more than he started with. Rav Yani says you're allowed to do that. And we see that in Rav Oishia as well. Why is that such a big deal? Because it's actually a machlokes itmar. Rav Amar Oisa Amona Beperis. Right, if I have money and I want to pay now for Paris, if I want to pay now for Paris and give you 100 shekel, and now that Paris ki'ilu becomes mine, the tvua becomes mine, the chita becomes mine, and then you're going to provide me the chita later on when it went up in price at 110, that's fine, that's no problem. But the enos and amana bedamim, Rav says, if you, instead of paying you the chitin, I now give you the cash value of the chitin, that's no good. Rav actually argues on what we just said for Aviane. Rav says, if when I gave you the 100, you give me back the chitin eventually, even though the chitin is worth more than 100, that's fine. That looks like a purchase. But if I give you 100 and it's ke'ilu, it's on the chitin, and later on, instead of taking the chitin, you take cash equivalent, either cash or yayin equivalent, that looks usser. Because that doesn't look like you're buying chitin. That looks like you lent me money and I'm giving you back more money. And Rav said that would be usher. Rav Yani says, no, mali hein, mali dvein. Just like I can give back the chefetz itself, even though it's worth more money, the chita, the yayin, the shemen, I can give back its value cash equivalent as well. Meisvei, so wait a second. You just said that the pshat in our Mishnah and the pshat in Rav Oishia is going like Rav Yani. The whole reason why Rav Oishia said you can roll the chiyav on the chitin from the chitin to the yayin, from the yayin to the shemen, is because he's going like Rav Yani, that I don't have to give you back the original item. I can give you back its cash equivalent. But Rav said you can't do that. So how's Rav going to fit with Rav Oishia? Meisvei kulam yesh le mutter. Rav Oishia clearly said you don't have to give the actual chefetz. You can roll the chiyav from the chita to the yayin, from the yayin to the shemen. Rav said you can't. How's Rav going to learn Rav Oishia? Amar vun, amar Rav b'shamashach. Rav's going to have to say, no, Rav Oishia does not hold like Rav Yanai. Rav Oishia holds that once it's on the chita, you have to give me back the chita, except if I actually made a kinyan on the chita. If I actually made a kinyan on the chitin, I did a mashicha, then of course it's my chitin. And when it goes up in price, then of course it's mine, and then I can roll it onto anything I want. It says, what would be the chiddush of that? Obviously, if it's mine, and I really made a kinyan, then it's mine. Says, the case is not when you gave me the chitin, but you put aside specific chitin in a specific place. Till now, the case of Rav Oishia was, I just said, I have chitin, some of my chitin somewhere is ki'ilu, it's yours. And then some of my yayin, and some of my shemir. But again, it's mishapara, that's good enough for ribbis. The chiddush over here is that Rav said, that's not good enough, and you cannot roll that chiyah from the chitin to the yayin. But if I'm a yachid specific chitin, in a specific corner of the granary or whatever it is, even if I didn't actually make a full kinyan on it, that's good enough to say it does not anymore look like ribbis. Now it looks more like a transaction, and that would be good enough. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says you don't have to go that far. Even without yachid like Karen Zavis, there's another reason it might be mutter in Rav Oishia's case, even if you hold like Rav. And that is, Hamani Yehudi damar tzadech ed ribbis mutter. Yehuda says what we call tzad echad beribis. Tzad echad is not actually what it sounds like. I mean, tzad echad means it's only going one way. That doesn't make any sense. We know all ribis goes both ways, right? The malva gains and the leva loses. Is that what it means? Tzad echad beribis means you made a transaction that not necessarily will turn into ribis. In this particular case, as Yehuda is going to say, you have a transaction which might end up turning out to be a halva, or might end up turning into a mecher, depending on what the guy pays you back. Says Rabbi Yehuda, that is, since we're talking here about ribbis d'rabbanan cases, anytime you have a transaction where it's not clear if ribbis is going to come out of it, depends on the circumstances, in that case, it's not also mitam ribbis. Desani, let's see Rabbi Yehuda's case and then we'll apply it to our Gemara. Harei so I owed you 100 shekel, I owe you 100. And I said as follows, if I don't pay you back by a certain time, you should take my field. But I didn't give it to you like a mashkin. It's like a sale. Okay, it's like you foreclosed on a house. So I'm going to give you you gave me a mortgage, and if I don't pay you back the mortgage on time, the bank forecloses your house, which basically means the bank buys your house. Okay, so that's the deal they set up. So in the interim, who gets to use the house, or in this case, who gets to eat the pears from the field? So bezman sha meicher echol pears mutter. So the meicher, which is the leiver, who owes the money, if he's eating the peris from the field until the field transfers rishus, that's fine. But lokechachol peris aser, says the Tanakama, in this case, if the person who's going to end up with the field at the end, which is the malva, is eating the fruits the whole time, that could be a ribbis problem, because it could be later on, I'm going to pay you back the loan, and then I'll have paid you back the loan plus all the fruits in the field that you ate, which is ribbis. Yehuda says, I'm allowed to allow the malva to eat the peris because not necessarily will this necessarily turn into a ribbis question. If I don't pay back the loan, then it turns out I sold you the field. Selling you the field, of course, you're allowed to eat the pears all you want. If I do pay back the loan, then it was a loan and I gave you extra money. Says Rabbi Yehuda, since it's not clear if it's going to be a loan or a sale, that itself indicates that it's not a vakribis and it's going to be mutter. And therefore, back in our case of Rav Oishia, the same thing. I may be going to give you back the chitin. Maybe I'm going to roll it over into yayin. Who knows? We'll see what happens. We'll see how the price works out. Therefore, that itself is called tzad echad beribis, and even Rav would agree, now Rav according to Yehuda, not according to the Rabbanon, but Rav according to Yehuda would agree that even though ein oisin amana b'mamon, but if it's a case of tzad echad beribis, according to Yehuda, it would talk to be mutter. Amalei Yehuda, Yehuda continues on this price. Ma'aseh b'baisus ben zayim shasa sadeu mecher. He had this case. He borrowed money, and then he had a field that he was going to give in payment of the loan if he couldn't pay it back. Al pir b'lazim rezayi v'lokech echol parasaya. He let the malva, who's the lokech, eat the fruits. So you see, like me, tzarech b'ribus is mutter. Haya amrulah. They said, no, you got the story wrong. Of course, misham raya meicher echol parasaya. No, he wasn't getting the fruits. The meicher, the original borrower, was the one eating the fruits. My bene, what's the machlekes over here? Somebody says, "I'm a bayit tzadech beribis." Seek by now. Mamish, our question of if you have a situation which is not clear if it's going to end up being a sale or if it's going to end up being a halva, depending on what you pay back. That itself, Rabbi Yehuda says, is mut. Rava says you don't have to go that far. Ribis, I'm not lachshik by now. No, it could be everybody holds tzadech beribis is usser. But if I end up paying back the loan, if I end up paying my mortgage, then I'm going to tell you, you have to pay me back all the fruits you ate. So yes, right now it sort of looks like ribis, because I'm paying you back the loan and you already ate the fruits, but as long as you pay me back the fruits, that's going to be okay. Because it's ribis amanas lahachsir. So Yehuda says ribis amanas lahachsir is okay. And Ravas and the other Tana of the Brisa says, no, ribis, once you pay the ribis, or it looks like ribis, that's already going to be asur. So we have two pshat with machlokes Yehuda and the Rabbanon, although all over the parak we'll see we rely sometimes on this sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that tzad echad beribis is mutter. If you have a transaction which is not clear if there's going to be ribis, in our case it's not clear if it's going to be a halva or a mecher. We'll see other cases later on in the parak where it's not a question of halva or mecher, it's a question of whether there will be profit or not. We'll talk about that. That also tzad echad beribis, and it's going to be mutter. So we're coming out lemaisa pshat in our Mishnah why if it's ein lo yayin it's asur v'yesha yayin is mutter. Is based on Rav Oishia's halacha that even if you're rolling over a chayv, if you have the actual chayv that you want to do it, it's fine. According to Vyani, it's totally fine to keep rolling it, no problem. According to Rav, you cannot keep rolling it from item to item. Either it has to be according to Yehuda, or it has to be by Yachid Loi Karen Zovs.
If we said Sat Echad Baribish, that it only works out at the end, how can we determine now whether that
you
whether
can't.
It's
you can't. But Rabbi Yehuda says it doesn't matter.
Till the end.
No, Rabbi Yehuda says since we don't know by definition it's mutter. Amarava. Hashta the Ravyanai Mali Hein Mali Demey. And Ravyanai said, in a case where you're allowed to give back the chita, not only are you allowed to give back the chita, you're allowed to transfer that money onto a cash equivalent. So then once you say Mali Hein, Mali Demey and Amrinan, Mali Demey and Mali Hein Nami Amrinan. I will say the opposite as well. And you say, what's the difference if you have cash or if you have the object? What does he mean? Upaiskin ala shar b'shuk aval pisha einlan. And therefore, that's the pshat in paiskin ala shar. The whole idea of paiskin ala shar is I'm paying you now, even though you're going to deliver the chitin only in 6 months from now, and the price might change in 6 months from now. We said that's fine. I'm giving you 100. Now you're going to end up giving back 150. Why is that fine? As the Mishnah says later on in Daf Yomi Pays, because we're talking about Paisik al Ashar. The price was fixed now. Why does that help? That helps because, Rav Yana's point, if I gave you money, theoretically right now, you could take that money and go ahead and buy Chita for 100. And then when I have the Chita for 100 on my own, it'll go up to 150. And therefore, that's the whole svara of Paisik al Ashar is Mali Demeyen, Mali Ein. I'm giving you money, but the money is really just chitin, and therefore it's good enough. Refract Rashi, very cute, but there's a Mishnah on Ayin Beis. It's a Mishnah. What is he telling me here? Obviously, this is the whole pshat of the Mishnah. So Rashi basically says, wait till the Mishnah on Ayin Beis. There's multiple ways to learn that Mishnah. As we'll see, there are multiple ways of being Paisik al Ashar. There's the early setting of the price, then there's like a basic setting of the price, which happens later on, and then there's the final setting of the price. And it's not clear if that Mishnah is talking about the final setting of the price or the earlier stage. If you learn that Mishnah is talking about the final setting of the price, Rav Yana is being mechadish that even the earlier setting of the price works based on my svara, that if I'm giving you cash, or again, according to Rav Yana, not just cash, According to Vayisha, even a chayiv that you're rolling over, this is good enough by yeshlay, not by einlay. But then Pesach, then it'd be okay.
It's not so clear that the shah went out.
Which case?
The case of our Gemara is
opposed. Yeah, to well, it doesn't matter. Again, in our case, where you're rolling over a chayiv, shah doesn't help. Has to be very clear that, right? The whole idea of shahr helping is when you actually are giving cash. When you're rolling over a chayv, shahr does not help. That was the whole halach in the Mishnah. Shahr is irrelevant because you're not giving me cash. I mean, Zaviani's point here, the Gemara's point here, is exactly what we've been stressing. That shahr helps because now that you're giving me money, I could go buy chitin right now. But if you're not giving me money, you're rolling over a chayv, I don't have anything to go buy with. So it doesn't help. If yeshloi, I already have the chitin, so I already have it, so it's kelu, it's yours. But if it's only I could go buy the chitin, that only makes sense if you give me cash, not when you roll over a chayv, because then I don't have anything to go buy with. Eisver of Papa of Runa Ben Yeshua, they asked this question. Kulam yeshloi muter ein lo yasser. So what do you mean? We just said you have to have it. Yatzar shah is not good enough. Amalai no, hasam avach, hasvini, exactly the point. When you're rolling over a loan, then it has to be that you yeshlay, because you don't have cash to go buy the item. But I'm not rolling over a loan. I'm giving you cash. Then as long as it's yatzar shah, it's good enough, because you can go buy it. Rabbi Rav Yosi Tami Chavai, my time amar rabbanim poiskin al shah shabashuk ve'al pi shaylei. What's pshat in that gemara? Now, I already just explained to you pshat in the gemara, and the Mishnah says the pshat in the gemara. Right? The Mishnah says the whole idea is, as I just explained, because once you have cash, or something like, right? Once you have cash, you can go buy it because it's Yatzar Shah. Yatzar Shah means that it's available in the marketplace for a fixed price. You can buy it. So what is Rabbi Rabbi Yosef teaching me over here? They're coming to give you a second svar over here. Because one svar, the svar of that you can go buy it is going to be mitzad the mal, the mitzad the loiva. Here we're going to have a svar mitzad the malva as well. No, mitzad, I'm sorry, that was mitzad the malva. I have the money. I can go buy it myself. So it's kilo, it's mine. Now they're going to say a svar mitzad the loiva. That I'm not actually gaining, the malva is not actually gaining anything in this situation. Why? The malva says, you're not giving me any money. What happened over here? I lent you 100 shekel. Now, in 6 months from now, you're giving me wheat that's worth 150. We say it's mutter because yatzar shah. Okay. So we said, because even though he doesn't have now, he could take the money and go buy. So I'll tell you a different svar. The other svara is, you're not helping me at all. Shakli tivuza, take your what you're doing for me. Vashadiach is, you throw it on the thorns. I'm not gaining anything but what you gave me. Why? My honestly, if instead of me lending you the money, I would have this money, I could go to the local marketplace, those are the two towns, Hilni and Shilni, and I could buy it myself. In other words, the fact that I lent you the money, and the deal was you're going to pay me chitin, and you only pay it to me in 6 months when the price goes up. If I didn't lend you the money, I just would have bought it myself. So I'm not actually getting any ribbis from there. So there's 2 points now to Yatzar Shah. One point is, as Rabbi Yosef is saying, that I'm not gaining anything. And the shot of the Mishnah is that you're not losing anything, because once you have the money, it's key, you could buy it right now and just give it right now. So from both, why do you need both svaras? The Achrenim discuss tremendous detail. Why do you need both svaras? Is it actually two different svaras? Is it actually two sides of one coin? Part of the pun. Whatever you want to say. But Lamaisa, he says a slightly different svara than the Mishnah says later on. I'm like, by Lev Yosef, El Meata, according to your svara, Mutalovay Sabasa. The basic halacha that we know in Hilchos Ribbis D'Rabbanan is that if I borrow from you a box of oranges and I want to pay you back in 6 months from now another box of oranges, but the price of oranges went up, it's usler. That's called saw basa. It's a quantity. I'm paying you back a quantity. Well, according to your svara, what's the difference? I could have bought a case of oranges right now. If I would have bought it right now, it would have gone up in price on my own. I'm not gaining anything from what you gave me. So why is saw basa, sir? You didn't do anything good for me. Throw it on the thorns. I had chitin, or I had oranges, and they were in my storage place. They wouldn't have gotten ruined, right? The kadchi ba'achavai, would they have gotten ruined in my storage place? No. I would keep them nice and dry and cool, and they would have gone up in price, and in 6 months I would have made money on it. The fact that I gave it to you, why should I not be able to get it back at the higher price? I'm not getting any money from you. He said, you're right, but that svar we only use by a sale transaction, not when it looks like a loan. If it looks like a loan and smells like a loan, we treat it like a loan. If it looks like a sale transaction, that's when we start all these svaras. Yotzashar, you have money, I didn't gain anything. All those svaras are nice svaras when it looks like a transaction. When it looks like a loan, like sub, and I lend you a case of oranges and I get back a case of oranges, that already smells like a loan, because I'll say all these svaras don't apply in that case. Still, I am gaining. What's the whole svar is? I'm not making money because I could have done it myself. But when you do it yourself, you have to pay a broker. And now you're saving the broker fees because I'm lending you the money and you're getting me back, you know, wheat in 6 months from now at a higher price. And I don't have to pay the brokerage fees. So I'm like, maybe in this case, you would have to pay the brokerage fees you saved. You would have to pay and keep that money on the side. Okay, Ravashi, I'm a no. Zuzi Dinchi, you have the Sirusa. If you have a lot of stuff over here, a lot of money, you don't have to go hire a broker to find it. They'll come to you. And if they'll come to you, there's no brokerage fees. There's no brokerage fees, you're not saving any money. That was a mimer from Rabbi Rav Yosef. The Rabbi now brings another mimer from Rabbi Rav Yosef, not necessarily connected to Dinei Ribbis. Rabbi Rav Yosef, Tamit Shavayu. Haman Diyav Zuzi Atara Harifa. If you pay money for something which is not a set price. Lo yotza hashar. Tara Harifa means that they're selling it quickly now before the price gets set. Everybody's selling just a little bit. Okay. Tzorech laschuzi lebeit dari. If you want to close that deal, you must actually go. You can't just shake hands with the guy in the shuk. You must actually go to his granary where he's threshing and dusha and doing dush and all the things he's doing over to prepare the wheat. And you have to go there to his granary to close the deal. So why? Lamai, what are you doing over there? Ilam mikne, because what, you have to go to do a kinyan mashicha? Holei kani, doesn't say, just going to his granary doesn't make a kinyan. If you told me you have to make a kinyan, fine. But we're not talking about making a kinyan over here. So what are you talking about? Ilam kabula mishapara, right, that once you close the deal, once you have a handshake, the guy cannot back out. Kilo mischazinam kabula mishapara. We never said this in Azov. In Azov, we just said, you make a deal, the guy is usa to back out. If he backs out, it works. But it's usa for him to back out. So why do you have to go to the market? Why do you have to go with him home? What does that help? No, really, the deal is not closed yet. What do you mean the deal is not closed? I shook his hand, says the Gemara, because everybody plays both sides of the coin. When you're buying early in the market, and the market at that point is a very non-restricted market. It's the Wild West. Everybody's selling for whatever they want. So you don't know what you're getting. You don't know if he really has what to give you. So what you do is when you go to the market is you close the deal with three or four different guys. You hedge. And you close the deal with three or four different guys. And they know that you're closing a deal with three or four different guys. But you really only want to get delivery from one of them. And the other three you're not going to get. So how do you know who's... So then there really is no deal. All the handshakes at this stage of the market are not really a handshake. Everybody knows it's all pending. What do you have to do to seal the deal? When you go to his granary. When you go to his granary and stand there and watch him do it, that's when you say, okay, you're the one I'm taking from. So the Beitrali, if you show up at the guy's granary, then some chadaita, then that's considered closing the deal. I know that when you made the deal with me, if you found better fruits or a better price, Vishaklish, you would have taken from there. And therefore, you didn't close the deal. And therefore, the Meicher says, I also did not close the deal. And it's not Mishapara if the Meicher backs out. I'm Rav Ashi. Now that that's pshat, hashadamet mishum the mitzvah taita. Now it's just a question of everybody being semech taita to close the deal. Afil ashke b'shuka. You don't actually have to go to his granary. As long as you find them later in the shuk, v'yomalei samcha taita, and you say, by the way, I checked around the prices, blah, 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 you're the best, I'm going with you. That also is good enough. You don't really need to go to his granary. You can either go to his granary and that non-verbally expresses that you want his, or you can just meet him in the shuk and explain, I checked around the prices, you're the one I'm going with, that's good too. Amar of Nachman, back to Hilchos Ribbis. Chlala de Ribsa kol agar nota leyoser. The whole idea of Ribbis is that if I am... That the whole idea of agar nota le, the whole idea of Ribbis is that I am giving you more, or charging you less, depending on which side, for giving me the money now instead of the money later. So in theory, when you make a deal, right, in theory when you make a deal, you pay and you receive the produce. You receive what it is. I am willing to give you extra produce if you pay me now. If you pay me now, I'm willing to give you extra produce. Or in a normal case of a loan, you give me the money now, I'm going to pay you back more money later because I've had the money of your money for 6 months. So that is agonate. Obviously, this is not a chiddush. This is basic hilchos ribbis. The chiddush is the word kol. Kol agar notale aser, even, as we'll see, the example he gives is not a loan case at all. The example we're giving is a sale case, what we call ribis d'rabbanan. What's the case? You're giving money to someone who's making wax or candles or whatever it is. Okay. V'kazli dalad dalad. For one zuz, the price is four candles. Okay. But you normally pay on delivery. Right? When you give me the candles, I'll pay you a zuz. Hey. He says, look, if you pay me now, I will, instead of giving you four candles for the zuz, I'll give you five candles for a zuz in a month from now. So which means you're prepaying, and by prepaying, and the guy holding on to your money for a month, he's going to give you an extra candle. That is agar natale. By giving you the money now, you're giving me back extra money. So isnu gabe shart. Now, if the guy has the candles right now, it's yeshloi, so then the candles are considered yours. And therefore, when he gives you, you can negotiate any price you want in the market. If you go to the market and say, I want to buy five candles for a dollar, and they say, well, it's really four, but okay, I'll give you five. Of course, you can do that, right? That's not ribis. That's a purchase. Here, if the guy has the candles, mamish now, he just takes time to deliver them, that's fine. That's just making a purchase right now. But less nugabe, if the guy does not have the candles, he has to go make the candles. Oh, if he doesn't have the candles now, so then mamish, he's borrowing your money to go make his candles and paying you an extra candle, that's going to be ribis. Ribis d'rabbanan, but that's ribis. Zepshita. That's what we've been learning for the last few days. What if this candle maker does not actually make his own candles? He farms it out to somebody else. Okay, he already placed an order for his candles. Now you come to him and you want to buy candles. So we said, if he has the candles available right now, that's fine.
Okay.
Because then you're paying a shekel, getting five candles, no problem. Even if the candles are not here right now, they're in his warehouse and he just has to deliver them to you, that's also fine. What if they're not here right now, they're not in his warehouse, but they already placed an order by someone to deliver him candles? Says the Gemara, that's also. Right? He already has a deal out to get them from somewhere else. Just like we said, if he has it in his warehouse, he just doesn't have the delivery now. That's good. So maybe the fact that he placed an order for them is also good. Since he doesn't own them yet, it's like they don't exist. And we said if they don't exist, then you're prepaying for delivery of extra candles. That would be at least ribis d'rabbanan. Ad kan.